And now we welcome Dr. Richard Holm. He is the Prairie Doc. You can see him on SDPB TV tonight. You can see the show On Call with the Prairie Doc. And Dr. Holm, welcome back to In the Moment.
Hi, Lori.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. I am doing just great. So today we should talk about elder abuse and the perils of aging, because tonight that's the show.
All right. So that's always kind of a mystery to me, because you think, why would why is that even a problem? What is behind it? Is there a reason that we have some information about that says why people abuse elders?
Well, it's interesting that when I was going to med school, they used to say that people are abused because they abuse because they were abused, repetition compulsion, and that was the explanation that I heard. If you look at the literature, however, some experts will say that the person that is the most abusive is the one who is raised without discipline. You may have had all the love in the world, but never was told, you know, you're wrong, you are, you've got to learn from your mistakes. They don't want to hear anybody criticizing them. There's not such a thing as constructive criticism in their lives. They've grown up in a school where their parents went to school and said and covered for them. They didn't handle being in sports because they didn't handle a coach. And they end up abusing people because someone says, you know, you're wrong about this, and they can't take it.
Interesting.
One of the advantages of being a person who doesn't abuse is one that can learn from their mistakes and it can take criticism.
We hear. Go ahead.
Have you ever had criticism, Lori?
I think in the last 20 minutes I've had criticism. If you go online. Yes, criticism is a part of life. Very much, it's how we learn.
So that's how we learn.
Interesting. Is it financial abuse is something that you hear about a lot with the elderly? Is that a real problem in our society?
I they say it's the crime of the 21st century.
Really?
That why do they go after the elderly? They go after the elderly because number one, they have money, and number two, financial things on the telephone or on the internet, it can't be necessarily followed, you know, if you do it right. And so you can you steal, and then some of the elderly people are compromised or have time to answer the phone and talk with people, and they love the attention that you can give them. So it's the crime of the 21st century. But it's interesting, probably the most financial abuse that occurs to the elderly is from family.
So one of the questions that comes to mind then is, how do you prevent it, as you look at your own parents or your own grandparents,
your own self, right? Like me.
Right. What sort of steps can we take to sort of prevent it from happening?
I have a trust department at a bank and one person that I know, and that I've discussed at great length about, and my wife together, we have talked at great length on how the money should be distributed, how it should go, you know, how we should, we've gone around the room with our camera, our phones, and saying that cupboard should go to this person, that clock should go to that person, and we're going to try to distribute all of the things so that the kids realize that it's my fault that they didn't get the clock, and they can be mad at me, not at their siblings.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's a lake cabin in our family. I don't want anyone to have hard feelings about each other because of that lake cabin. I just want it to be a nidus around which they can all gather and enjoy each other, you know, a family campfire around which they can enjoy each other. And so that's my wish, and I'm going to try to make it clear, and I'm going to go through someone who will be there even if they age out, or I age out, or my mind goes, it's clear, and I've got a will that's clear, and I think, you know, all of us, before we lose our noodle, you know, we should make absolutely sure we've got all that stuff laid out well, clear and well.
So
the worst scenarios I've ever seen, though, is if there's a second marriage, kids from one family, kids against the other. And
oh,
I've seen terrible fights, you know, who gets the family farm, and just awful.
Right.
And even if they know each other, and they if they're related to each other, they're siblings, they end up, the farm is split unfairly, they don't talk to each other anymore, and they've lost, I mean, over monetary stuff, they've lost the most important thing in life, which is their family.
Mm.
So I think financially, you know, there's a lot of physical abuse out there, but if I'm talking to an elderly population and the perils of elderly, make sure that everything is clearly done. You've got a good lawyer. You've got a good trust department. Nobody's going to be mad at each other. Those kids aren't going to be mad at each other. They're going to be mad at you when you're gone because you distributed it this way. And it's not each other's fault. So
when we talk about these difficult conversations, we're also talking about grief and the things people do, you know, when they're grieving, or the things that are lost, you know, when a loved one dies. And I'm wondering, is there any way to, as well as talking to the lawyer, is there a way to prepare your family emotionally for just some of the suffering they will go through, and sort of help build up that resilience for a family to say what value, you know, what's valued, and how to remember, you know, who you are?
That's such a perfect question, because, you know, no one wants to talk about dying. Mm. And as a geriatrician caring for elderly people all my life, I've watched them come to this time of their lives when they haven't addressed, you know, the dying process. They haven't thought about their funeral. They haven't, and everybody is fearful of death.
Right.
I just had a conversation with one of the guests that will be on the show tonight. Her name is Maggie Callanan, and she's written the book Final Gifts.
Hmm.
She's a hospice nurse and an author, and she's going to Skype in. And along that, with that, tonight we have Victoria Walker, who's the medical director for the one of the major national nursing homes corporations, and then a teacher of geriatrics. And we're going to be talking about how to talk to your family about dying, mm-hmm. about your own dying, and about what would happen if. So advance directives are important, but not only that. I think we need it. I mean, you know, as I came down with pancreatic cancer a year and a half ago, we had some tough conversations about my own dying and the value of our family and the value of singing and music and, you know, a lot of things that were important, and they kind of hovered around me for a while. It's been really great. And now that I'm so far so good, you know, I'm still alive, you know, the pressure's a little bit less on me at this point from the family, but
it's always
we've
there.
Certainly talked about dying.
Right.
And they have a sense of the kind of music I want, and everybody will say a few words, but it shouldn't go too long.
Doctor, so I have another question, and that's if you suspect, you know, say your loved one is in a long-term care facility or a nursing home, or you just suspect they're sort of being taken advantage of financially by another family member or, you know, a family friend, what do you do? What are the steps that you can take to sort of reach out and help someone think about things in a different way?
Well, I think you talk to the doctor first. The physician or the care provider needs to be aware of what's happening. Yeah, that should be your first step. I had a patient who had remarried, and each of the spouses had kids, and the elderly man's mind was going, and the wife and the elderly man were going to the bank periodically to draw money out of the banking account. And there was a lot of money that was going. And one of the kids came to me and said, I'm afraid, you know, they're taking advantage of Dad, and Dad doesn't know what's going on. And of course, it was underhanded. Not to say that the spouse shouldn't deserve support, because right. that's the other side of it, is that the spouse gets nothing. They get dumped totally by an ingracious family. But this situation, the woman was taking advantage of the man, and money was going. And maybe there was decent reasons for all of this, but it was out of my hands to understand all of it. What I did was, you're a child. You, as the child of this man, you should know that he's not competent anymore. Mm. And medically, I can say that. You need to find a judge to address it. So I define the man as not competent because he wasn't.
Yeah.
The judge had to intervene and do the heavy lifting. Mm. And then it settled. You know, the lawyers got together, and there was a distribution, and so on and so forth. And then fair occurred. Fairness occurred, or justice occurred as well as it could. So sometimes what you really need to do is talk to the care provider.
Sure.
You know, there is your key. That's part of my job.
Tune in tonight to the Prairie Doc On Call with the Prairie Doc SDPB TV. Dr. Richard Holm, thank you so much for being here with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Laurie. It's always a pleasure for me, too.